This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes, your host. We have a conversation today with John Neandico and Kurt Ross from Oklahoma City. They are working in church planting and reaching out to the various people groups that are in our state. John is a pastor of a French-speaking African diaspora church that is being planted in the Oklahoma City metro area. And Kurt is a missionary and one of the co-pastors of the International Community Church, another new church start in our area. Both gentlemen are very knowledgeable about the immigrant populations that are in Oklahoma and around our state. Welcome to the podcast, gentlemen.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much.
Let's get started first with you, John. Your background, we've had a few times we've gotten together, and you've told me about your background. You are from Burundi. Can you tell us a little bit about your life in Burundi and how you came to end up in Oklahoma?
All right. Thank you very much for the question. Yeah, that's right. I'm from Burundi. My name is John Neandico. And I was born and raised in Burundi, born in a Christian family, but I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was 7 years old, and got baptized when I was 14. And I continued in ministry from when I was that young, and was involved in a student ministry when I was in high school and at university. When I finished college back in Burundi, I worked in a Christian organization where we planted a church. I was one of those guys who together we started a church, which is which is running today in Burundi, and really it's growing. And in 2013, I went to England, to the UK, to do to continue my studies in mission. I got a bachelor degree in biblical and intercultural studies from All Nations Christian College in the UK. So after that, I applied to come to the US to continue my studies. I came here to do a master's in theology. So I came here with my wife and my three children. We came to live in Oklahoma City, Edmond actually. So I finished, I finished my master's in theology at Oklahoma Christian University. And while I was there, I saw people coming from our countries, our region, people coming as refugees from Congo. And then they arrived here and they don't speak English. And then I found myself helping them, translating for them, and helping them with different things they need, taking them to different places, helping them with the doctor's appointments and things like that. But the main question they said on Sunday, where will we go to worship? I said, well, I go to Putnam City Baptist Church. And they said, we will go with you. So they started going with me, and after a time, then it was a little bit challenging to translate for them in the church building. And I mean, and it became obvious that there was a need of a place where they can be and worship freely in their own language. And I felt like the Lord was telling me, here is the field. You've got to be working, you've got to be serving. And I literally accepted, said, Lord, here I am, use me as you want. To cut the story short, I prayed about it. Me and my wife prayed about it, and we accepted the call. We decided to start a church for them. So together with those immigrants or refugees and students from those countries who are mainly at Okrama Christian, we had started meeting and fellowshipping for worship, for the Bible study and other fellowships, types of fellowship. And now we decided to start. So this Sunday was our fourth Sunday of meeting as Unbound Church.
Unbound is the name of your church?
Yes.
And where and you, do you meet on the campus there at Oklahoma Christian, or where you meet?
No, we don't meet. We don't meet on campus. We meet at. We are using the facility of Vantage Church in Edmond, mm-hmm. on Kelly Avenue. That's where we meet as Unbound Church. But on campus, we have every Friday. We meet there with students mainly for worship and Bible study.
So let me just back up just a couple of a little bit here. So. You're a full-time student still right now, right?
Yes, I am. I'm still a full-time student. That means when I finished my Bible, my theology, my master's in theology. I'm sorry. I enrolled in another master's. I'm doing now MBA.
Okay. Yeah. So you're like stacking up master's degrees. In like a big pile. That's okay. I mean, if you can do it,
it's yeah. I'm trying.
So help me just paint a picture for us. You talk about the refugees that are here in Oklahoma. They're coming from the Congo. So we're talking the area of Burundi and what are some of the other countries that are in the Congo? Is that Rwanda one of them?
Yeah. It's Rwanda, Burundi, and Congo. Yeah, those are the refugees, the people who are here around. And they speak different languages because, for example, people from Congo, they speak hundreds of languages. So, but mainly we can communicate in French easily because one of the languages I speak is French. So I can communicate with them easily. There's Swahili also, but Kinyarwanda, the eastern part of Congo, there are so many people speak Kinyarwanda. So Kinyarwanda and Kirundi, which is my native language, they are almost the same. So we use all of those languages.
And so you're using Kirin, I can't even say it.
Kirundi, Kinyarwanda.
Okay, and that's what you speak in the church besides French.
Yes.
Okay. Help us understand a little bit. You say they're refugees. What exactly are the situations that, without going into great political detail, that bring people to have to come from the Congo and Rwanda and Burundi to come to the United States?
Yeah. Basically, as I said, the eastern part of Congo is, there are many, many people who speak Kinyarwanda. And from there, you understand that history says that many years ago, they either migrated from Rwanda to Congo or with the colonization, when they divided the countries, those people found themselves in Congo. And then during these past years, those populations have been persecuted by Congolese saying, you are not Congolese, you are Rwandans, go back to where you come from. And then they have been killing them really, really, really harsh. It has been really bad. And then they found themselves persecuted and refused to live in Congo because they said you are not a Congolese and you have to go back. And yet Rwanda didn't accept them. Rwanda says, you are not Rwandans, you are Congolese. And then they had been obliged to flee to neighboring countries like Burundi, Rwanda, and elsewhere. So those who came here then, UN has been taking some to European countries and Canada and USA. So that's how.
So in the metro we have a number of African diaspora. There are people that from these African countries, they've had to immigrate here because of their political refugees. Is there also a religious factor to the refugee aspect, or is it mostly this political?
No, it's only political, because most of those countries, Central Africa, are majority Christian countries. So,
well, and thank God that you were here and equipped already to, even while you're being a student, to be able to effectively minister to people from your country. You know, it's like we would send missionaries there, and I'm sure that we do have missionaries there, but also the mission field is on our doorstep here in Oklahoma City. I wanted to just shift gears just a little bit and talk to Kurt a bit about the refugees. Kurt, you see, as we're talking with John, that there are these people groups that are displaced for various reasons. They could be political, they could be religious, they could be economic reasons. Who are the immigrant populations in Oklahoma? Do you have an idea of how many there are? And what's the landscape of the people groups that are here in Oklahoma?
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Yeah, they're in the Oklahoma City Metro, with which I'm most familiar. There are about 145,000 people who don't speak English in the home, so about 11%. So about every one in nine people you see, they don't speak English in the home. Many of them are refugees, they're immigrants, they're international students, they're visiting scholars, and literally they're from around the world. Of course, the largest block is Spanish speaking from Latin America, but for Oklahoma City and Oklahoma, the second largest group is Vietnamese, and many of them begin coming after the Vietnam War, but they continue to come as well as immigrants. There are rather big blocks of people too, like John is ministering to African peoples. There are at least about 5,500 just in the Oklahoma City Metro. There are also about the same number of Arabic speaking people who are predominantly Muslim in the Oklahoma City Metro. Tulsa Metro, I'm not quite as familiar with, but the Vietnamese again are the second largest people group in the Tulsa Metro. And Guymon, there are about 37 languages spoken in the Guymon public school system, which is incredible. And I think you know more about that than I do, Chris. So that's kind of a little bit of the big picture demographic of those who are immigrants and refugees, international people here in Oklahoma.
You know, I know that you and John are partnering together in doing ministry in different ways. You are a coach to him and his church plant, as you are a pastor. And I've got a little bit of international ministry experience from my first ministries when you were already engaged in. So you've been doing this for 30 plus years. What are some ways that folks can get behind you, John and Kurt? Can you explain what are ways that we can pray for you, and how can we support? Because I'd hate for, you know, like you said, one in nine people don't speak English. Is that the metro area, or is that the whole state?
Oklahoma City Metro.
Oklahoma City Metro. One in nine people don't speak English. We have to have a mission strategy if we're going to advance the gospel to all the peoples in our state. We do have a strategy for advancing the gospel to people around the world through the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board. But what are ways that Oklahoma Baptists can undergird and advance the gospel together with ministries like y'all's?
Go ahead, John. I think the first thing is, church leaders need to know that. They need to be informed. They need to know that, yes, I'm so grateful when I remember and remember that when I was growing up, I saw so many missionaries from different countries in our countries. And it looks like now it's no longer the same. It's not that easy for them to come. And obviously God has shifted things. Now nations have come to you guys here. But I'm afraid that many church leaders don't see that, or they see it, but I think that they need to be sensitized so that they can know, hey, the nations we have been going to, they are now here. We need to be intentional. So to be intentional is the key word for me. And then they need to prepare themselves, to prepare their church members, to tell them, hey, we've got to get involved in mission here. There are so many people who don't know Christ. And let's go out, let's find them. And if they expect those people to go in the church buildings, they may never see them. So churches have got to go out of their buildings and find those people out where they are. So intentional, and also from that, I would say, when they do the budgets for their activities, they've got to include that line. So that they can reach out to those people.
Well said, John. I think that is the key word, intentionality. I think the churches can certainly be praying. Our strategy is a simple church strategy to try to plant churches among these refugee and immigrant populations because it doesn't require really much budget. Leaders will likely be unpaid because I think that's just a strategy that's more of a multiplication strategy. So I think opening the eyes to the white fields of harvest around us, that comes through prayer. It also comes through just looking around with those kind of eyes. Not long ago, I took just a little drive through the Oklahoma City area with a leader at Oklahoma Baptist, and his comment was, I had no idea. And we went to some of the religious sites around, Hindu, Islamic, Buddhist sites around, and some of the local ethnic stores and restaurants, and met people. And so I think it's just opening our eyes to the white harvest that is around us. Many of the churches have mission projects or partnerships in a lot of these places where people are right here in Oklahoma City. And those people right here in Oklahoma City could be bridges, effective gospel bridges back to those nations, those countries where many of our churches go on mission trip. But as John said, they are right here among us, but we have to see them. That comes from prayer. We have a person of peace strategy from Luke chapter 10. We're praying that God will raise up leaders even out of the harvest. And the way that we will find them is through prayer, through talking about spiritual things with them, and then through their relational networks, reach others. And in many of the churches will have people from different ethnicities in the church, maybe just one or two. But I think the leaders, as John mentioned, if they'll be intentional about trying to develop relationships with those people even, and they'll find other people where they eat, the ethnic restaurants, the grocery stores, they will connect into some relational networks with some of these people. So I think some of those things are the key. I know that in several of the churches that we're working with, our church is trying to reach different people groups. Each person in our church, we're a simple church. We have about 20 people, but they're trying to reach into different people groups. I think that's a good thing, but we're also coming alongside the existing churches to help them with training, with vision. But Oklahoma Baptist also can provide demographic info about a radius around their church. One local leader that I worked with, we did that. And he said, oh my goodness, because 25% of the Vietnamese people in the Oklahoma City Metro live within 3 miles of his church in South Oklahoma City. There is a very healthy Vietnamese church on the north side of Oklahoma City, but not on the south side. So I think Oklahoma Baptist can provide some demographics that can be helpful. Katie Nix, I think, is the right person to talk to there. And so I think those things, and then being intentional about just trying to to get the gospel across those cultural barriers and those lines, whereby people from all over the world literally can understand that the gospel's for them. It's not just for the American people, but it's for all people, all nations.
You know, and it's not just the metro areas like Oklahoma City and Tulsa. It's, you know, rural, like you said, in Guymon with the 37 people groups that are up there. If in your town there's a Chinese restaurant, you have some Asians there.
That's the way.
Yeah, so, you know, it's easy to spot. What are some ways that pastors and ministry leaders can equip themselves better to understand, like you said, do the demographics? Are there other things that they could be doing to make them better equipped? I'm not going to be able to speak the languages that John was mentioning. I haltingly speak French with him occasionally, and he is very gracious and acts like he understands what I'm saying. But John, can you speak to that? What are some ways that from the immigrant's perspective, people here, their local Oklahomans, can help meet the needs and serve people in the immigrant community?
I already have to appreciate some churches who have English programs and who teach these people English, because when they get here, they really need help. They need people to show them around. They need people to help them, because to live in this culture, in this context, when you don't speak the language, it's very hard. So some churches have really done a great job to teach English. So I would love to see more and more churches getting involved in that kind of things, because people from Africa, from Asia, they are community oriented. They like to be together, and so service can be one big area where churches can go and help them, show them love. If you show them love, they will appreciate it, and it will be a good bridge for you, for churches, to maybe later share the gospel with them. So service is very important, very key. So English language, and I don't know, maybe churches need to identify when after identifying them, those around the churches, and maybe do a kind of survey and ask them how they are living, what are the challenges they have, and what do they need, and then try to meet those physical material needs as much as we can, and then maybe around Christmas, around those Easter, around Thanksgiving, and be generous and show them love. That can help. I don't know if Kirk has something to add.
Yeah, I'm hearing, getting to know who's there, learning the needs, and linking people to the gospel. Kurt, are internationals and the refugees and immigrants that are here, are you finding that they're open to the gospel?
They're open to gospel conversations. I think that we need to be conscious about some of the worldview issues that they face. But then tailor our gospel conversations to those worldview issues in a relational way. That seems to be the most effective. We specifically are using a simple tool that I think North American Mission Board really is one that developed at Three Circles. And it's a diagram. It's a gospel diagram. I highly recommend it. It's easy to talk to people from different cultures and zero in on some of those cultural barriers, or those gaps that are there. So I think that's very good. One tool to add to what John said is the IMB and North American Mission Board have collaborated on a website called peoplegroups.info, and that has been helpful for us. We had a training about 3 years ago now, with someone from IMB came to and did a training with that. But their website, they're redesigning it where it can actually be some distance learning and some training, how to explore, how to encounter, how to engage, how to equip international people, even that God has placed in our midst. So I think that's a good tool as well. But even in Oklahoma City, you know, we just think, okay, there's a church on every corner. Well, there's a church building on every corner, perhaps, but many, many people have never heard the gospel. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to this year, even during the COVID season. After I share with them, I ask them, have you ever heard this before? And they say no. And they're from places, South Asia, Middle East, different places around the world, that have not heard the gospel. And as John mentioned, oftentimes there's a huge language barrier there. So we're trying to reach one or a few then that can reach the many among the people groups from which they come.
And that's a great model, because if you can reach someone like a John, and then John can be a pastor, a minister, reach out, an evangelist, and John is multiplying himself as a disciple as we speak, and is actually, I understand from conversations with him, networking with other African diaspora pastors and trying to encourage them in that area. I wish we could spend a lot more time on this today, but I think we've scratched the surface on a lot of areas that people can pray about and get informed about, get to know who's in your community, learn more about their needs, find ways that are meaningful to link them to the gospel. Those conversations, they don't happen as quickly as they might with someone in your same culture, so you have to be very sensitive as you do it. But, you know, like Paul, he said he wanted to preach the gospel where it had never been heard before, and that place is right here in Oklahoma. There's one out of every nine people has a good possibility that they have never heard the gospel in its pure form. So anyway, thank you for joining us today, gentlemen. Pray that God will bless you as you continue to minister to the communities that you're reaching.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much.
And I want to thank you for joining us. You can find more conversations like this on our website at baptistmessenger.com. or by searching for us wherever you download podcasts. Search for Insight Podcast.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. To subscribe, find us on Spotify, the iTunes Store, or your preferred podcast platform. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com today. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.